to Delaware State of the Arts. I'm Andy Truscott. My guest today is James Morgan. Videographer Jimmy Morgan has been at work in a studio for over two decades, making recordings and following his profession as both a cinematographer and a YouTube channel designer. But the project for which he's been named a Division Emerging Artist Fellow is his series of engaging short videos that will speak directly to young children. His goal for this body of work is to create something that children will enjoy and learn watching. Jimmy, thanks so much for joining me today. And as we kick it off here, could you share a little bit with us and our listeners how you got started in cinematography and videography?
Sure. Yeah. So in around 2011, I want to say, I got started with cinematography. I started off with music videos, short films. I was doing some commercial projects and things like that. I branched off into some other things along the years, and I pretty much took a long focus on music. But I've come back to cinematography because it's one of the things that I love. And right now, what I'm attempting to do is to take the creative things that I'm doing and bring them together with my family. So that's the reason why I'm focusing on children's content, because I have children, and this gives me a way to do some of the creative projects that I'm doing while including my kids at the same time. So even while I'm working, I get to have family time and my kids get to enjoy something and learn a new skill that maybe I could teach them while they watch me do what it is that I do at the same time.
Did you learn, or did you kind of kick off this idea of YouTubing pre or post COVID?
It was probably in 2009 that I actually started getting into these things, because I really wanted to focus on filmmaking before I graduated high school, but I didn't want to actually go to film school. What I ended up doing was spending hundreds of hours on YouTube University, as they say, and all of the film riots and the things like that. They pretty much taught me the basics of cinematography, and I grew to love it because it was a way for me to be creative and technical at the same time. I'm kind of a nerd, so the technical aspects of cinematography are extremely interesting to me, and the creative aspects just is just something that I enjoy more than anything else. So it was definitely pre-COVID. I graduated high school in 2010, so it was actually before I graduated from high school that I got into these things.
What goes into making a YouTube channel per se?
Yeah, so the great thing about YouTube is that it's very different than working with a studio per se, because YouTube gives you the opportunity to approach whatever it is that you want to platform or whatever it is that you want to create in many different ways. And typically it's however you want to approach it. So you have the ability to take it to the next level and almost compete with professional studios and have a show be top tier if that's something that you want to create. Or you can just do something in your room with a green screen, a camera, and a microphone, and it's all up to you. So typically, from what I've seen, what really goes into creating a YouTube that's going to be successful is taking an idea that you care about, because I think that that's paramount. You actually have to care about what you're doing, and trying to find an audience that cares about the same things that you either want to talk about or something that that you want to create a business around. And what you do is you focus on the areas of the market that are not typically, I would say, high volume. You don't really want to get into something that everybody is doing, because you'll basically be washed away from the volume of people that are on YouTube, because YouTube is huge. So if it's something that you're really passionate about and something that you care about, you either take the skills that you have and teach those things to an audience or on YouTube, or if it's something that you're passionate about and you want to be entertaining, you take something that's unique to you and your personality and your lifestyle, and you create an entertaining show around that. And what we see is the algorithm on YouTube typically favors sticking to, I don't want to say sticking to the script, but sticking to a specific genre or something that one particular audience would care about. So if you really, really, really care about sports, then sticking to sports on your channel, rather be entertaining or educational, is the way to go. For me, I have children and I'm incorporating my children in what I'm doing. So sticking to kids' content is what's going to be important for me and what I'm doing. So to answer your question, the basics of what goes into developing, creating and developing a YouTube channel is finding something that you're passionate about and finding an audience that's passionate about that same thing and either educating them or entertaining them.
So as we think about what inspires you, right? I know you had mentioned earlier about creating an opportunity for you and your children to do something together, for them to learn a new skill.
Right.
What else are you passionate about? What else can we expect to see in some of these videos?
Yes, the biggest thing that you can expect to see outside of the cinematography element is music. My father actually taught me music, and I remember my father sitting me down in front of a keyboard when I was probably 9 years old and teaching me how to quantize and teaching me how to record my own tracks and edit and everything like that. So that's going to be music is going to be a huge part of the show as well. Because it's something that I'm passionate about. It's something that my kids love already, even though they're so young. And it also helps, from what I'm seeing, it helps in the ways that you want to teach kids lessons. When you speak and you have dialogue that's teaching a lesson, it also helps very much when you have a song that they can sing along to that teaches the same lesson as well.
Do you find that as you're building these videos, it's just you on camera? Do you utilize animation and some cartoons on camera? Talk to us a little bit about what the visual piece of it looks like.
Yes. So what I'm going to do is if you've seen the videos that I put in for my, I guess you could call it my pilot, it's actually a mixture of both. So the base of the videos is me on camera in front of a green screen. So it's meant to look similar to what Blue's Clues is like. It looks like he's in a living room, but the living room is actually digital. So there's a lot of that. And there's also an element of cartoon that has its own section within the show, and it's meant to be interactive. So there's me, like the physical actual person, and then there's a cartoon character that looks like me that I do the voiceover for. So it's actually a combination of both. And that's intended to not lose the audience, because having small children, I know that if the show is really boring, they will lose interest very quickly. So I'm intending to mix it up to keep their attention as long as possible.
Especially right if you're on YouTube, the ability to hit next video is right there, and you see it front and center. So keeping them engaged, keeping them moving, always important. You were recently named a Division's Emerging Artist Fellow this year. Talk to us a little bit about your reaction and why it's such a meaningful kind of next step for you.
Yes. Initially, for the first probably month after hearing that I had won the award, I actually couldn't believe it to a certain degree. It was so overwhelming and so so exciting that I almost couldn't put words to it. And to a certain degree, I felt like I was dreaming for a while, because this really gave me an opportunity that I wasn't sure that I would be able to have. And it's amazing, because it's not only an opportunity for me, but it's also an opportunity for my family. I'm a big family man. I have 6 children. I have 3 boys and 3 girls. So this was not only exciting and amazing for me, but it was also exciting and amazing for my family, because working a lot, it having something like this where you can incorporate your family in the work that you do is so beautiful, and it's nothing like that on earth. So for me, I woke up, and when I saw the email, I almost sat and thought about it, like, did I really just read that? I don't know if I just read this or not, because this says that I just won this grant and I cannot believe this is true. So the excitement was through the roof. I'm actually still to the point where I'm just getting over being in shock, but it gives me the opportunity to start something that I think is long overdue, because as I've told you, I've been working on cinematography since probably 2009. So it's been a really long time coming, and to be able to build a project like this is more than I could ever ask for. So I'm extremely excited. I'm extremely grateful, and I'm looking forward to producing. And I think that this show is going to be meaningful, not only to my family, but hopeful to other families that have children that are the age of mine as well.
Talk to us a little bit about how your background, how your upbringing, how your schooling really has influenced not only this project, but some of the work you've done to date.
The projects that I've done in the past have typically been very simple, not over the top. I try to keep things simple so that way I can learn the basics of what I'm doing and get a good foundation of how to produce things the best way as possible. So I'm the type of person that I prefer to try to get my feet wet in a subject and really learn the basics of it before I try to go really, really far and really grand on what I'm doing. So a lot of the projects that I've done have been very small in order for me to get a real good grasp on what cinematography entails and what producing and a lot of times directing entails. So some of the projects that I've done in the past, especially the music videos, have really taught me the tips and tricks that basically develop your speed when you're producing these projects. Because one thing that you'll learn is that the more projects you produce, the faster you can turn projects around, which is good because when you get to the point where you can do a project like this with a budget, it's really going to be helpful to have the skills that you need to get things done quickly and to put yourself in a position where you don't waste money. So when I went to middle school, we had home economics. And that's one of the things that this show actually focuses on. I'm sure that we'll get into that later on in the interview. But one of the things that the show focuses on is reading and home economics. So I'm taking some of the things that I've learned growing up and putting them in digestible videos for kids in a fun way. So my goal here is to be entertaining for the kids, but also pleasing to the parents, because you also don't want to sit your kids in front of something where they're not going to learn anything for 2 hours, because I've done that. And that's a very, very big part of why I'm making the show in the first place, because my son, my youngest and my middle and my youngest son are literally my demographic here. So I'm making the show essentially for them in a way that families watching the show will feel the same way that I do about their children. So I'm taking things that I've learned, like the home economics, the reading, the culinary arts, and I'm putting it on camera in a way that's intended to be entertaining, but also educational. So all of the things that I've learned that have given me skills over the years will basically give me the superpowers that I would need, so to speak, to lay the foundation for this show to be creative and unique in a way that, although there's many children's shows out there, I know that there won't be any other shows that'll be like mine, because mine is personal to me and my experiences and my personality. So, for example, I went to Del Castle. I graduated Del Castle Technical High School in 2010, and I was in culinary arts. So there's three major parts about this show. There's the reading, there's the music, and then there's the recipes, which is intended to be a spin on snack time, because what's more important to children than snack time? And so I'm taking the fact that I have a culinary arts background and infusing it in something that I already developed, which is cinematography, which could seem unrelated, but I'm bringing them together in a way that would allow me to use both skills at the same time in a unique way where it can be educational and entertaining for the viewers of the show at the same time, if that makes sense.
Totally. Talk to us a little bit about how technology has grown and impacted this work from 2009 to now?
Oh, absolutely. One of the most significant developments in technology that is helping me with this show that I never could have imagined even 10 years ago is the ability to animate characters on the spot. So Adobe, if you have the Adobe suite and you have Creative Cloud, Adobe has a program where you can sync your face, your facial expressions, and your movement with a digital character that you create. So in the show, I have a character that looks like me, and I do the voiceover, but what I've been able to do is actually synchronize my movement and my facial expressions on camera in front of the computer with the actual character. That's something that I would have never been able to do 10 years ago. And it's definitely, it's definitely something that I wouldn't have been able to do on my own, because although I have experience with directing and cinematography, I don't have experience with animation. So this gives me the ability to animate characters in the show just by syncing my physical body movements. And it is amazing. So the entire scene that you see where I'm singing the ABCs and everything in the pilot, that was literally done with me sitting in front of a computer after I created the character to look like me. So once you design the character, all you have to do is sync yourself up with it. And as long as you have a microphone syncing your voice where it can hear what you're saying, the program in Adobe will literally make the character react to what you're saying. And it'll look like he's saying exactly what you're doing. If you blink, it blinks. If you move your head back and forth, it moves its head. So it's amazing. And that's one of the most striking developments that I've seen in technology in a really long time.
Can you tell us a little bit about a video that you're particularly proud of, or a project you're particularly proud of?
Yes. So without giving too much away, because I want you guys to see it, there is an episode that I'm working on where the elements of the show are supposed to almost seem unrelated, but intertwined together. And at the end, you kind of sort of all get it. So there is a particular snack time recipe where the show host is teaching kids how to make popsicles. Now, granted, I told you that my heart behind the show is to make the kids happy by entertaining them, but also make the parents happy by giving them something that's educational and something that the parents will be happy about. So one of the things that I've done in one of these episodes is creating these green popsicles that the kids rave over. And my kids actually like these things. So the kids are excited because they're learning how to make recipes. So for this particular show, they're learning how to make these green popsicles that they think are delicious, but the parents are happy because what actually makes the popsicles green is kale. So they're having things that add nutritional value to what they're actually doing, but the kids can't taste it because of the mango and the pineapple. So all they know is that it's something sweet and something delicious, but the parents know, I just got you to eat kale and you never would have done that before. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of, those are the things that really make me excited, because that's something that I really care about. And I know that this gives me an opportunity to bring some of these elements into the forefront that would be really difficult to get there in any other way. Because if I try to get my son to eat kale just plainly, he will look at me and say, it's definitely not happening. But if his kale and his spinach is in a popsicle that's that the base of the popsicle is kale, mango, pineapple, he's going to love it and he's not going to know or care. All he knows is this popsicle is green. It's amazing. My favorite color is green and I'm happy. So, yeah.
What advice do you think you would give parents on how to choose the right educational videos for their children?
Yes. For me, I think it's all about sitting down and taking some time to watch the shows that your kids are looking at with them. what kind of sparked a lot of this is me sitting down and taking the time to actually look at what my son was actually watching over an extended period of time. And I know that's not the easiest thing to do because we're all busy. We all have jobs. But even if you just sit down for 5 minutes a day and take a look at what your kids are watching on their tablets, sometimes you will find that they're watching the most boring shows that you could ever imagine, but there's something in it that they're interested in. And I think if you take whatever it is that they're interested in from those particular shows and try to direct them to more educational content that has those same elements in it, that's how you can kind of create a win-win situation. So for a perfect example, one of the inspirations that I have behind this show is Blippi. And I noticed that what my son really liked about watching Blippi was the episodes where he would do things like he would make chocolate bars. So to me, it's like, okay, what you're really interested in is these chocolate bars. And you're watching Blippi because he's the only person that's giving this particular content to you. So I know that these are the kind of things that my son and other kids are interested in. So if I either, for me as a creator, incorporate things like that into my own show, now I know what you're actually looking for as a kid. And for the parents, if you know that that's what your kid is actually interested in, then you can find educational content that's centered around things like that. And you'll be able to create an environment where your child is actually learning something from what they're watching and not just consuming content where it's just basically people playing. They have some of these shows now where kids are just playing with slime and they don't even speak, you know. So like, you want to avoid things like that. You want to just try to find what the kids are interested in and try to direct them to content similar to it that has educational value.
Jimmy, as we wrap up here, I wonder if you can share with our listeners where they might go to see a little bit of your work, see some of your videos, and or what the name of your YouTube channel might be when it comes time to publishing.
Yes. So I'm working on the blueprint still. By the time I give you the link that you can add to the show notes, the show is actually going to be called Reuben Goob. You'll understand once you see the show why that's the name. So the YouTube channel will be called Reuben Goob. The social media account will be at Reuben Goob, and you'll be able to find it pretty much on all platforms.